and gentlemen, in your lifetime and in my lifetime, we have gone all the way in the culture from Madonna singing Papa Don't Preach into the churches, and the churches are saying preachers don't preach. The time will come when they will have itching ears, and they will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, myths. But Paul gives a word concerning apostasy, and with a note of urgency, he says to the young preacher, preach the word. That's what God wants the preacher to do in this day.
Today we turn in God's word to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, reading selected verses. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? May the Lord take his word and use it in a practical fashion in my life and in yours. It promised to be a very dull trip. Out of Philadelphia, on a very crowded plane on an overcast day. And I'd been sitting beside the girl, who was quite disheveled, for approximately 10 minutes. And she turned and spoke to me, and when she did, I realized it was a man. And I introduced myself, and he said, I'm not David. And I said, that I guessed. And then he explained that he was out of Detroit with his own band, and he was headed for a psychedelic weekend at one of the favorite psychedelic spots in South Florida. And we chatted for some time about bands. And he said, what's your interest in bands? I said, I used to book bands. So then we talked bands for quite some time. And then he said, are you still in bands? And I said, no. And he says, what are you doing now? And I said, would you believe that I'm a pastor? And he said, how did you get from bands to that? And very briefly, I told him the story. And I said, does that make any sense to you? He said, 3 weeks ago, no. Now, yes. And then he explained that he had taken LSD. And that it was a trip in which, for the first time, he had gotten out of himself and had realized there was a God. And he also realized the unexplored recesses of his own life by looking at himself from the outside. And he said, I know now that I'm a very little thing, but I used to be my world. I used to think I could do anything. I used to really think I was God. Now I know there's someone much bigger than I am. And you say that you know him personally. Who am I to say you don't? But it fascinates me how you would come to know him personally. He said, as long as I've lived, I've never had anyone speak to me of Jesus. Dr. Gutschke this last week has taken us into the wonderful book of Hebrews, in which we're cautioned to leave the ABCs behind and to go on from being babes on milk to men on meat. But you know, it's not well to leave the ABCs behind until you've gotten the ABC straight. And the longer I live, I realize how few people have the ABCs straight. I see church members confronted with a serious disease, with pregnancy out of wedlock, with a crisis in their marriage. And when you ask them, are you a believer? Invariably, they'll tell me how many years they've belonged to a church, and they'll never answer the question because they don't have any answer. Jesus here is in the third year of his ministry. Apparently, he wants to get away from the mobs and to be alone with those men he has gathered in his inner circle. And he leaves Jewish country and he comes into Gentile country, pagan country. And once alone with them, he turns and he says, who do men say that I am? Now, apparently, everybody's ready with an answer. They said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. That was a novel suggestion because he'd been beheaded just a few months before. But already there had developed the legend, the suspicion, and the fear that he would return. And they said, others say that you're Elijah. You'll recall that Elijah was one of two men who did not experience physical death here on earth, but went straight into the heavens and was received in a chariot of fire in one of the most provocative acts that God ever did, showing that he is not wedded to any system. You can even enter the heavens without first dying if God chooses to receive you. For more than 800 years, there had developed the story, the tradition, the suspicion, the scuttlebutt that Elijah will return to usher in the era of the Messiah. Some say you're Elijah. And they said, others say that you're Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah had been dead for more than 500 years. But there was also prevalent a tradition that Jeremiah would return in the flesh to usher in the era of the Messiah. And they said, others say that you're one of the prophets. He's only 33 years old. He's been on the scene as an itinerant preacher for less than 3 years. And already the popular opinion credits him with being John the Baptist returned from the dead, Elijah returned from the heavens, Jeremiah returned from the dead, or one of the prophets. Fantastic public acceptance. But Jesus doesn't seem particularly interested in his question or their answers. And he turns again and says, "But who do you say that I am?" And now apparently you could cut the silence. And impetuous Peter is suddenly on his feet and he blurts out, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus turns and says, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee." You haven't come to that conclusion because you took a smart pill, because of human logic, because of idle speculation, or because of any theory. But only because my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. That's the only way you could have that information. Now then, we're told that he confirms to his disciples, "I am Jesus the Christ." And we're told that he takes them into confidence as to the future. Have you ever recognized that when we really take somebody into confidence, we take them into confidence about the future, not about our past and not about the present, but the future? And he said, "I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to suffer at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. I have to be killed, and I have to be raised again the third day." And at this point, Simon Peter, who has just identified him as Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, says, "Be it far from thee," full of suggestions, "bad plan, don't make the trip." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for what you say stinks of man. It does not smell of heaven." And then he spells it out. "You, Peter, you, John, you, Judas, if any man will come after me, he has to deny himself. He has to pick up his cross. And he has to follow me." You know, the greatest curiosity about who Jesus is within the Christian church. Most of the conversions you hear about in the United States are conversions of those who have spent at least a part of their lives within the Christian church, but who suddenly discover for the first time who Jesus is. Well, who is he? Let's go to the ABCs. First of all, Jesus claims to be God. And there are literally thousands of Christian churches in the United States using the word Christian, using the Bible, talking about Christ every service, who deny the deity of Jesus. Do you recognize that in the Blake Pike plan, which was an idea of getting together Christian churches, that now the mention of Pike has been dropped because Pike denied in writing the deity of Jesus? Jesus claims to be God, nothing less. "I'm in the Father is in me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and the Word dwelt among us, and in the Word was life, and the life was the light of man. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men have preferred darkness. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you've known the Father. I am from above. I am not of this world. Before Abraham was, I am." this is why the Bible says the true test of whether any man comes to you in the power of the Holy Spirit or in the power of some other spirit that may have power, let's get that, is whether that man believes that Jesus has come in the flesh as the Christ. He claims to be God. Then secondly, he claims to be Creator. I know that we take the Apostles' Creed and recite it every Sunday. And we speak of God the Father Almighty. I would remind you, before Jesus was born, Isaiah said that one thing he would be called is Father. The Bible teaches that the Creator of the universe is not the Father, but the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by the Word, and without the Word was nothing created that was created. And Paul, in writing to the Colossians and within context, clearly speaking of Jesus Christ, says, "For by Him were all things created, visible and invisible, whether in heaven or earth, thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all were created by Him and for Him, and all things consist by Him." He claims to be Creator. And though what that opens up, you know, we live in a time when people want to question the miracles. There are people that come on Easter and believe the resurrection who will deny the following Sunday that Jesus walked on water. I want to ask you, by human logic, if Jesus created the water, wouldn't it be more difficult to believe that He lost the power to walk upon it than that He retained the power to walk upon it? Who is master where your Creator? Several years ago in Atlanta, an ordained Christian minister had a television series on the subject of the miracles. And he came on every week, and he explained one miracle after another. And what he credited Jesus with being was with being a psychologist. He admitted he didn't have an MD degree, so he wasn't a psychiatrist. But he required less time of people on the couch, and all he did was telescope the process to where he got right to the crux of the problem and instantly solved it through psychology. He explained away one miracle after another as best he could, and when he got to the resurrection, he stopped the series and glossed it over without comment. The Creator. What does it do for you? You take the crucifixion. If Jesus is the Creator and He looks out upon spitting, jeering people, He's not talking about a mob. He doesn't see a mob. He doesn't see humankind. He doesn't see the rabble, as the Pharisees would refer to them. He sees Mary, His mother of His flesh, whom He made. That hot-tempered, impetuous teenager, the Apostle John, whom He made. And no one spat whom He didn't make. And the Bible says He knew each by name and numbered the hairs on his head. He is Creator. Then He claims to be Savior. It isn't hard to understand why He'd want to save us if He created us. Even from a human viewpoint, where we speak of a child as bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, our love for that child is not based on whether that child disappoints. It's based on the fact he's my child. You say, what kind of love is this? It's the love of a God who says, I have created you for life, and you have chosen destruction. And there's only one possible escape, and I am it. And so God the Son comes in the flesh to take on your sins and mine, to have our sins poured into him as though he were a vessel. Nobody got home scot-free. He endured both our physical and spiritual death. He endured our hell and paid the full penalty for our sins. That's why Paul said it was a saying worthy of acceptation that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He claims to be Savior. And then we come to the death gurgle in the Christian church, to the only weakness in the Christian church today, if you want to just pinpoint one weakness. He claims to be Lord. He claims to occupy a life, to take possession of it, to own it, having purchased it with his blood. And he claims to be master, Lord, commander-in-chief of that life. He will not permit the Christian to claim heaven and to retain Satan as commander-in-chief. That's why he looked at Peter, and that's why he looks at you, and that's why he looks at me. And he says, you're coming after me? Then let me tell you, you're going to deny yourself. You're not going to be God. You're not going to name priorities. I'll tell you the priority. I'm going to be one. And you're going to pick up your cross and you're going to follow me. You're not going to follow Satan and claim you know Christ. Jesus claims to be Lord. And if he isn't Lord, knock out the rest of it. He isn't God. He isn't creator, and he isn't savior, because he couldn't be. And then he claims to be the church. That's a claim we so often overlook. I heard someone one day berating the church, and he told all the things that were wrong with the church, and someone piped up and said, none of that's true. The church is perfect. Then everybody got quiet, because nobody agreed with that. And someone said, what do you mean? He says, the Bible distinctly says in the letter to the Colossians, Christ is the head of the church. He is the church. Those who believe in him are only the body. He's the head. Have you ever seen any animal without its head and watched its gestures? My earliest recollection is seeing a chicken without its head, leaping at me, literally going as high as my shoulder, almost hitting me in the face, but without its head. No direction, no plan, just reacting, but with no thought of what it was about. Christ claims to be the church. And you know, no one can reject Christ without understanding who he is. No one. This week, a Christian present this morning and I were talking about a church where the pastor says he does not believe the miracles of the Old Testament, but he believes God could have done it, but he believes all the miracles of the New Testament. Do you realize that in Acts it says, without the signs and the wonders and the miracles, Jesus is not certified as the Christ? And do you realize that from heaven, voices on three occasions certified the fact he is the Christ? And do you realize that if the miracles of the Old Testament are not true, you have no other source by which you could legitimately claim that the miracles of the New Testament are true? How could I claim to be Jewish by adoption if the miracles that made the Hebrews Jewish did not take place? And the most difficult thing today is to find all the obstructions, blurring the picture to where no one hones in on the person of Jesus and determines for himself who is he. Now then, if Gallup were taking a poll, and he asked you, who do you say that Jesus is? Well, such polls have been taken. And most such polls reveal that most Christian professing people do not believe that Jesus is who he claims to be in Scripture, but that he's something less. You have one vote, but it's your life. Who do you say that he is? If he isn't God, he can't be creator. If he isn't creator, why would he love you and die for you? And if he is savior, why would he permit you to live in the same miserable fashion of men who've never heard of Jesus? My prayer is that I'll never get in the way of these ABCs, that nothing will ever become so theological or so scholastic or so complicated that a man will not clearly know this is who Jesus claims he is. Turn him down or accept him, but let there be knowledge of his claims. Lord, our Father, we thank thee for a Christ who took on the weakness of our flesh, who lived in a dominated country, who lived in a controlled economy, who lived in a tension of hate and tyranny and death and lewdness. And when men actually were frank enough to say, I'm God, though they were from earth and had no prospect of ever being of heaven. Lord, thank thee for coming and for being so crystal clear that those curious about your claims may know them. Lord, today, may the rejection or the acceptance at this moment take place according to thy will and according to thy word. We pray it in the name of Christ. Amen.
The Just Good Preaching Podcast is an Unseen Hand Media production. This podcast is on all the most popular podcasting apps, so be sure to subscribe. And while you're at it, be sure to stop over on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review so that others can find these messages. For more information about the Just Good Preaching Podcast and many other podcasts, go to ronniebrown.net/unseen. That is ronniebrown.net/unseen. Thank you so much for listening.